Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast, a weekly live stream covering all the topics from the live streaming and content creation industry. On today's episode, we've got quite a lot to talk about. We'll be chatting about the latest Twitch Atlas, some updates from Twitch and Facebook about things that are coming to their platform. We've got some upcoming YouTube features from the CEO herself. And the main topic that we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be going back through all of the data from the streaming platforms in 2021. And there's loads to uncover that, talking about platforms and streamers and some of the records that have been set in the past year. For any new watchers and listeners, this is a live show that we do every Monday here on YouTube. So please do feel free to join in the chat. We've got the ability to be able to bring up your comments live on the stream. So please do feel free to join in the chat. And do us a favor whilst you're down there and give us a thumbs up on YouTube. That helps push this show out to more of the Gaming Careers subscribers and people that are interested in this kind of topic. Good afternoon, good evening. It's quite late here in the UK, 9 p.m. Ben, how is it over there?
4 p.m. here. It's not quite as late as you. It's funny, we've moved this show from like 6 a.m. my time to noon and now 4 p.m. So we've really run all three of the segments here, at least for the duration of the show. But good things here, lots of rain happening. But I'm excited for the new week for getting back to our weekly podcast here, Pete. We're two in a row, which is pretty good for us lately. Yeah, I'm excited, man. How's stuff over for you in the UK these days?
Yeah, all good here. I'm sure you saw I posted and tagged you on Twitter and Instagram today. My new chair has arrived, the Herman Miller chair that you encouraged me to get. Thankfully, I didn't have to pay all the money for it. They managed to get me one for free, but long-term review will be coming. You can't really tell you much about it after about 2 hours sat in it, but plenty to discuss. Ben, where do you want to start? Should we start actually with Twitch Atlas? I'm hoping that my computer is going to be able to render this graphic because it's actually not just an image now. We can go to the website and zoom in and have a poke around. So let's start with that. I haven't got it actually showing, but why don't you introduce it whilst I make sure it comes up on screen?
Sure. Yeah, so we've talked about this a couple times on the podcast before. I'm trying to remember if we've actually shown it on the podcast since we started doing the live podcast. You've probably seen it if you've been on videos before, but basically this is a really, really cool diagram of all the different streamers, essentially, or the top, 500,000 streamers on Twitch and how their viewers map to each other. So it'll show you with a little line, everyone who, if you're watching this channel, you're also watching this channel and watching this channel. And it'll also increase the size of each streamer's dot based on their total viewership size. So there's a lot to unpack. You can really dive in deep on the diagram they have here on each individual streamer. And they're kind of grouped by category. So you can see we have, like, in the top right, the big discussion point this week is that kind of greenish spot, which is all these Spanish streamers that are blowing up now. But there's also different categories. Like, a lot of the colors are based on games. So there's a League of Legends area and a GTA area, just chatting. And this is crazy to see just how much, how advanced this thing has gotten since the creator first started making it, but B, just like how things have changed since we first started watching it. Now, especially Spanish streamers really breaking out, you can see just visualized here, is pretty crazy, Pete.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I feel like that even in the first Atlas that we looked at, we saw that the Spanish speaking community was getting bigger and bigger, but now it seems to like almost be at the point where there's such a segment of Spanish speaking streamers. Eventually we'll end up like the Spanish speaking streamers will be in the middle and we'll be looking for the links to all the English speaking streamers. But it is really interesting just to show how global Twitch is actually. I think you look around, you get like the Russian section, like it's partly split by language spoken. And then it's also partly split by game, right? So you see people like the GrefG, who is probably the largest Spanish streamer, or one of them, is also closest to the English speaking streamers because there's a bit more crossover there. I don't really know how much we can break down on this. I just think it's such a cool tool that people should be playing around with it and actually seeing how audience overlaps work with Twitch. Because if you're trying to find other streamers to collaborate with, maybe it's useful to know like where the crossover of viewership is. And I know this is only like the top 1% on Twitch, isn't it? We're not talking about every single streamer being on here, but there's quite a lot that you can dive into. I haven't actually looked around too much other than the Spanish thing, but it wouldn't yeah. surprise me if there's probably like a hot tubs section or,
I mean, you can see Amaranth is a pretty sizable chunk there in kind of her own color, which is interesting. So yeah, there's no one quite doing.
What color have they chosen there for Amaranth?
Some sort of dark green. Yeah, I don't really know what exactly that category is. But this is, I put the link in the chat if you guys want to kind of dive in and look around yourselves, because it's really kind of a hands-on thing. But I think one thing to take away from this is, we've talked about this for a couple months now, each time this gets put out, about once every month or two, I'd say it comes out. And the biggest thing I see is just how big the Spanish streamers have gotten. Like the size of this dot that shows their audience is so much bigger now, even than when it was like half a year ago when this first started coming out. And there are many more of them. It's not just the GraphG that's there, right? You have Ebi and AuronPlay and some of these people who are in the top 10 streamers on the platform now, even kind of dwarfing XQC, which is crazy because he used to just be the biggest one by a landslide. And now I don't think he's even like in the top three or four here. If you look at it, it's very close between him and a lot of the other competitive Spanish streamers. So I think that's going to keep happening. Like Pete said, we might kind of be the minority at some point with the English speaking, just the way things are going with how much boom there is on Spanish Twitch these days.
Yeah, and we're going to be able to see more of that data later when we're actually looking at how these streamers performed over the course of a year. That's all coming up in the report later. But something that we have to follow, I don't know if that's blown up in the last sort of 6 months as opposed to the last year. Obviously, like the GraphG had that record-breaking stream in January, February last year, I think it was, when he got his Fortnite skin. Yep. I think that still holds the record. In fact, I'm sure it does. But we'll dive more into that kind of data towards the next section of the stream. So what have we got next? I think it's going to be some Twitch platform updates. Do you want to introduce them for us?
Yeah, sure. So as always, we go through some of the updates that we've seen to Twitch this week. A little lighter than last week, since last week we had quite a few weeks to cover at the same time. I'll start with kind of maybe the smallest thing that I saw, which was Twitch is doing a lot of tests right now for UX things. And the first one we saw here was they're experimenting with adding on your sidebar, if you're on desktop, instead of having a viewer count for the channels that you follow or recommended to you, you would see a little present icon, meaning that you've been gifted a sub for that specific channel. So I haven't seen this personally. Again, if anybody in chat has seen this on your experience, please let us know. But it's kind of interesting. They did this apparently before with the anniversaries, with the little party cat, but that's been discontinued. So now they're testing subs, I imagine, because it's, you know, there's a direct financial incentive for Twitch to do that on this kind of thing. So that's probably why. But kind of a cool thing still, like to differentiate from just, you know, grouping by viewer count, but also by things that you might be interested in based on what you have in each channel. I think it's kind of interesting, Pete. Any thoughts on seeing this?
Yeah, I agree. I haven't actually seen it in person. I think it's Zach says that it's only rolled out to 5% of the user base. So I don't know if that is largely American people or if they've just chosen a random 5%. I don't know how much I'd like to see this feature. Like, personally, I'd prefer to see the viewer number, but maybe the viewer number doesn't really matter. And actually, what you want to see is that a streamer that you're sub to is live. But you would think that that would be top of the recommended streams anyway. So nothing huge, really, at the end of the day. But it's always worth reporting on because, believe it or not, I do get questions about this kind of thing. What are these icons that I'm seeing on Twitch? Things like that. So it's always good to stay up to date with it. But that's not the only Twitch update. I think we've also seen an update to the mobile platform. I think you've done a screenshot for us here that I can share. I'll probably have to zoom in because this is a screenshot from your phone, isn't it, Ben? Do you want to explain what you've seen here?
Yeah, so this literally just popped up when I was browsing Twitch one day. It just had like a new pop-up that said, hey, we have a new creator mode for you. Go check it out if you want to stream from mobile. So again, this is specifically if you want to actually be streaming on a phone, not using any sort of routing through a PC. And you can go live straight from that bottom there. If you kind of see the bottom piece of it, you have like a preview of your stream, your live viewers, your followers all in one quick view on your phone. Again, Pete's scrolling here on the screenshot, but if you're on your phone, it's all in one screen.
Yeah, I've zoomed out there to show it actually what you see on your phone.
There you go. You got it right there. I've personally never really streamed that much from my phone directly, but if you are someone who does that, maybe if you're just starting and that's all you kind of have, it's nice to have this option built right into Twitch too, because you used to have to use other tools, I think, to stream on mobile and couldn't use the app itself. So now you can, which is kind of cool if you want to just have a really simple way to stream off your phone.
Have you ever done any live streams from your phone, Ben?
I don't think I've streamed directly. Like I've used the phone in streams for mobile games and things like that before, or as a camera, of course, but never like straight from the phone. I could see yourself doing it though, like if you're at maybe you're traveling or something and you're at a convention and you want to do like a pop-up stream with people that you're kind of hanging out with around there, or traveling to see somebody else. There's some value there. And I would see myself doing that. I've seen people who've done that who I'm friends with too. But Pete, have you done it yourself at all?
I've done like an IRL stream, but it wasn't from using the Twitch app. It was, you know, I went and took a proper camera out and one of the Go Live, what are they called now? Live View, that's the name of the brand, where they combine like mobile data. So it's been a long time since I've used one of the apps to actually go live. In fact, I don't think Twitch even officially had it built into the app when I last tested it. I had to use like the Streamlabs mobile app or whatever it was that you had to go live from. But cool to see that they're rolling out updates, as we'll see again later on in the report. Mobile streaming is a massively growing market, so it's no surprise that Twitch want to build the tools that allow you to stream directly from your phone. And you know, maybe we'll all live in the future where you don't need a streaming PC. Dual PCs are kind of becoming less and less popular. Maybe people will just be doing it straight from their phones in the future. One last update from Twitch, I think we have, Ben.
Yep, this is another small one, but they've updated the messaging. So if you go to a channel and for some reason you can't watch it, either because it's banned or it doesn't exist, they've changed the messaging to show you kind of more information on what's going on now. So the two screenshots they have here are this channel has been closed by the user, which I guess is implying self-deletion. And then the other one is this channel is currently unavailable due to a violation of Twitch's TOS. So that basically just gives you information as to whether it's a temporary thing and it, you know, it might become available again versus this channel has just been deleted or closed completely. Because I think right now, in the past, it was just one blanket message, no matter whether you were banned for like a day, 3 days, or permanently banned, or if it was a copyright thing versus a ban. So I think this is helpful for people. And I have not seen this in action yet because I haven't just gone to a lot of banned channels to check it out. But it's cool to have more information for people who are new and don't know that on Twitch, to know that that might just be a quick ban versus this person's gone forever and that link will never work again.
It's made me realize, is Twitch by default light mode? Like these screenshots are both with Twitch on light mode and it's blinding to look at. And it's come from Twitch's official Twitter. So it's been so long since I've been non-logged into Twitch. But I thought the dark mode was the default. Like, why would you browse in this experience? It's genuinely hurting
every
my
site totally. These days, man. I Discord's the worst one, though. I think can never do Discord in light mode.
No, but that isn't default light mode, is it, Discord?
No, but I think it has it. If there's any psychos who use Discord in light mode, please let me know, because I'd be really curious to hear that. Yeah, Twitch is always default in light mode, though. Yeah.
Oh god, it's like if you see somebody using Twitch light mode, they're going to be using OBS light mode, Discord light mode. I guess they just don't want their retinas to continue working. Next bit of news is a new platform, but not for every kind of streamer. It's for the beauty side of streaming, which is a massively growing industry, especially on YouTube. But this is a new platform altogether where I'll only be showing beauty streamers streaming. So I don't know how much of the Gaming Careers audience watching and listening are interested in beauty streaming. But do you want to talk a little bit about this new platform? Ben, you've already streamed here, right? You're partnered and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm working on everything I can do over there. No, this is cool. I just found this today by stumbling around a little bit, because it actually was founded by two ex-Twitch staff members who came over to build this. It kind of feels like an offshoot, essentially, based on what they learned from Twitch, maybe. And it is very beauty focused. A couple of things that are cool about this platform that I noticed is they have a kind of a different way of categorizing things. So you can see in the screenshot or the live view that Pete has here that it has scheduled live streams right at the top, not live streams. So like upcoming things with the calendar and start time. And then it'll show you past streams as you scroll down versus a bunch of live streams. I think that's maybe because it's new and they don't even have enough streamers to kind of just show an ongoing thing. That's kind of smart too, because we talked about a lot of new platforms that like Glimish, et cetera, that don't even have enough streamers to keep like a real directory on. So this is, I think, it's a smarter way to do like an upstart where you don't have enough content, but make it feel more rich than it is. And also just could kind of incentivize people to come to upcoming things that might not be live just yet. It's the first time I've seen that on a platform. So I think that's pretty cool to call out.
So how come we don't have the same scrutiny here about newness as we do about things like Glimish? Is it just purely because they have niched right down, chosen a very small subset of live streamers to target? And then maybe they'll build out from there, or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just double down and just keep building for beauty streamers. But like straight away, we're not diving into how many people are streaming on it or anything like that. Like we have, echo on my mic. Let me just sort that. Ben, you take over.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. I think a couple of things. First of all, it is a different niche than Glimish. Like it's not trying to compete with Twitch or YouTube, and they're pretty clear about that because it's really dialed in. Almost like how Twitch was at the start, being a really gaming-centric platform, and still kind of is. Glimish kind of wants to be that, I think, for the beauty category, which doesn't really have, to my knowledge, someone in that category yet. So I think it's a pretty cool way to do it. The other thing I wanted to mention too is something we'll talk about that's in the yearly report from Stream Hatchet is the gender gap in streaming, especially on Twitch and gaming platforms. And browsing this platform, it's almost entirely women on the platform, which makes sense for the beauty category. But it's kind of cool to see, like, in the live streaming space in general, this is a more women-focused space. And so that might help kind of broaden out live streaming to not just being what Twitch and YouTube do with gaming.
There's a link up at the top. I have hopefully fixed my audio now. Let me know if the echo has gone. Sorry, that's my bad. I'm still getting used to the beacon mix create and muting. But there's a link at the top of that page that says apply to stream. Do you know if you have to actually, you know, get accepted into this program? You have to bring over an audience of some sort, or can anybody stream there?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I just stumbled on this today. So it may be that you have to apply to it, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if it would be like something where you have to have an audience size to bring over, or just they want to do a quick check to make sure that what you're showing on there is going to be representative. Almost like a partner program from the get-go, it seems like.
Yeah, well, interesting platform. We'll cover it if there's a high demand for people that want to watch beauty content. But is there still an echo? I can't tell if these comments are coming in late now or not. It looks to me like it's fixed, but
yeah, it's gone, I think. Looks okay. Like it's good.
All right. Let's move on to talking about Facebook's updates. A platform that we don't really cover that much. So it's nice when they do monthly product updates in an easy web page for us to browse, because neither of us stream there. But there are plenty of streamers, you know, in the gaming careers community that do successfully stream to Facebook. So some new features and improvements that we're going to cover. This probably needs to be zoomed in a little bit further for you guys to be able to read it. But you want to start with this the fan group access that's now been given to the level up level of creators.
Yeah, so I just want to say I'm actually glad to have some sort of Facebook news to talk about. I found this blog that they had this morning, and so I'm going to keep checking this each time we have a podcast, because we got to have some Facebook news, Pete, even though we don't use Facebook a ton. So this, I think the biggest thing I saw from this update was the fact that they're rolling out fan groups to level up creators, not just partners. So again, I'm not most familiar with Facebook, but for like a Twitch comparison, essentially it's rolling this out to the affiliate level of creator and not just partners. And it's a group page to go along with your stream. So whenever you're not live, it's a place for people to come and chat, like a Facebook group, like any other slash wall, just to kind of build a community, which does seem like a kind of a unique advantage to Facebook over YouTube or Twitch, because you don't really have that built into the platform in those places. You know, you can post updates and things on YouTube. You can't really do anything on Twitch. You use Discord kind of as a stopgap for that. So I think it's cool. That seems like one of the differentiators for Facebook. And if it's rolling out to people, then I think that's a good update for anyone that level up creator, which I imagine is probably the most creators in that platform.
It seems to me like clips. I know we haven't jumped to that, but they've updated a lot to their clips platform and being able to clip from the iOS app and Android as well. It seems to me like clips are a massive feature that people really demand from streaming platforms. Like, when YouTube didn't have clips, and I can't remember if they're called clips, there's too many names of all these different features on the different platforms. But essentially, Twitch clips on YouTube, I remember people demanding that for a long, long time and saying the platform would never succeed until they implemented it. And they now have implemented it. And it looks like Facebook Gaming is also really prioritizing the creation of clips. Do you think that's all to do with posting to YouTube Shorts, TikToks, those kind of things, like the feature demand from streamers?
Yeah, I mean, I think feature parity is a big thing across sites. And you see it the most with Twitch and YouTube, right? Having direct things, really just YouTube taking everything Twitch has done and slowly bringing it over to their platform. But once you have a very popular feature like that on a platform like Twitch, then other platforms are going to want to bring that thing over. We saw this too with Mixer kind of trying new things, and Twitch eventually bring them in, like low latency streaming and channel points, things like that. Like, eventually, if that's popular on some platform, and they're probably going to bring it into other platforms to kind of mimic that experience. So, I mean, I agree. I've actually not seen a Facebook clip to my knowledge. Does it just look like a Facebook video? I'm not sure. But if it's as popular as it is on Twitch, then I'm sure it gets used on the Facebook site quite a bit.
It's one of those things that probably gets played live on people's Facebook feeds, and then all the views count towards the clips. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've even visited Facebook, never mind Facebook live streams. But there's also actually a second page that we can show here, a bit more about the fan groups with a couple of screenshots. I didn't realize that we had two links for this, sorry. But I know one of the major complaints about that businesses have had with Facebook and creating like a Facebook page for their business is eventually Facebook stopped showing any updates to people that have liked your page, and then they were ended up having to pay advertising to actually get the news out to their audience. And I would hate to think that that's what Facebook are going to do with these fan pages, but you can't say it can't happen, because it has happened before, but just for businesses rather than streamers.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because you're right. Like, organic discovery on Facebook is gone now. For any fan pages, you really have to have advertising behind it. This could be different, though, for a creator space. Like, if you think of a lot of top creators on Twitch and YouTube, they have their own subreddits and Discord groups, things like that, where people will go to talk about stuff when they're not streaming or to do like submissions for something on stream. So the fact that this is built into the platform is kind of cool. I imagine if you're a Facebook streamer, you could use this pretty effectively and just have it as a hub for discussions around your stream, and also like contests or meme review, things like that. That's really natural and baked in, and it's just one link for everything. So I think it would get used more even without the organic discovery, but I'm not totally sure.
Apparently my audio is still echoing, or I don't know if it's just chat catching up. Oh, chat is just catching up. My chat was really, really far behind. Anyway, everybody says that the audio is now good. Sorry about that. It did echo earlier, and my chat seemed to freeze, so I kept getting messages about echo, even though I could see that it wasn't there anymore. Lots of people saying Facebook still too complicated to use as a streaming platform. People finding it clumsy to browse. So lots of comments, I think, similar to us, that of people that don't usually browse Facebook. I think when we get to the data later, that rhymed, in the stream report, we're going to see how often Facebook live streams are viewed on mobile. I think that's a massive part of their audience, which maybe makes a bit more sense as to why me and you don't see many streams on Facebook and don't seem to browse it as much. But we'll dive into that just after we cover the last of the platform updates, which is YouTube. Bring up this webpage, which is a letter from Susan, who is the CEO of YouTube, and she has released some updates about the platform in general, which we could go over, but really we just care about the live space, or I think they refer to it as the gaming space. So I'll scroll down until we see that. But a couple of new features that you've highlighted here that are coming to YouTube live streams in 2022.
Yeah, again, I think this is kind of like what we saw from Fwizz, RIP, earlier this year. Basically, just talking about things they want to work on and specific things that, in 22, they're kind of committing with this to doing something about it. So we'll see what that turns up to be. But the features they call it specifically are, they said, we want to improve the live experience for all creators as well as viewers. In particular, we're focusing on better live discoverability. So that's one. More chat features and make it easier for creators and users to create gaming related shorts. So that's like three main things they're working on. Plus gifted memberships, of course, which they've been saying forever they're bringing to the platform since Tim joined last year, I believe, and Lupo. So I'm not sure when exactly it's coming, but I guess four main things they're working on this year for live gaming stuff in particular. No dates or anything, no exact plans as to what that'll look like when it rolls out. But at least we have four target things to kind of hold them accountable to at the end of this year, Pete.
Yeah, we had a roadmap, didn't we, from Fwizz just before he left, or it was towards the end of last year. And gifted membership, I feel like we've talked about gifted memberships for so long now, Ben. Kind of thought that was already actually live on the platform. So maybe it's just taking longer for them to implement. YouTube do like to implement features like platform wide, whereas Twitch, I feel like, sometimes roll out platforms to desktop and then later to mobile. So it wouldn't surprise me if gifted memberships, when it does come out, is going to be on Android, on iOS, on mobile, on TV, on desktop, like all of the different platforms, versus like maybe slowly rolling out one at a time. It's necessary. It reminds me that I do need to enable memberships on the Gaming Careers channel, because then maybe we can get some people testing these features live for us whilst we're on stream,
yeah,
gifting each other memberships.
There's one thing I want to call it really quickly, if you don't mind, here before we hop here. from Waldo and Friends, who says, I still don't know where to find live streams on YouTube of channels that I'm not subscribed to. I think that's very true. And I know that Fwiz had said a lot in the past about how he wants to get away from a directory and do a different type of discoverability for Twitch. I don't know. It's so hard for me. I agree with Waldo here to find any new streams on YouTube. Like I follow some people who go live, like this channel, for example. You'll see that pretty easily. But for any new streamers, like I don't really know how to find new people in a category very well. So I would love to see a category personally at this point, or some new experience. It could be this new discoverability they're talking about, but we'll see what it looks like.
We're hearing from your dog in the background then.
Yeah, sorry, trying to mute it there.
That's
too.
That's all right. Yeah, lots of people are greeting with Waldo, saying that they also would love to see some kind of live. I guess it's YouTube maybe being a little bit arrogant with our algorithm is going to suggest the best live streams for you, you know, when they really roll that out.
But why not both? I mean, yeah. Can't you do both of those? I don't know. There's no reason not to.
There is like a live tab on the sidebar. But I don't necessarily know how that's populated. I don't think you can very easily browse the directory like you can on Twitch. And maybe that's their thinking, is that we don't want to be like Twitch. And when we're ready to roll out some kind of advanced discoverability, we will. I still don't get live streams recommended to me enough on the homepage, like the 8 videos or 12 videos, whatever it is that you get on the homepage. I'm so rarely seeing live streams, even when I'm subscribed to the channel and I watch all their videos all the time. So I don't know if that's maybe just me not being on YouTube at the right time of day. But for example, I'm subscribed to Tim the Tapman and I rarely ever see his live streams on my homepage, even when he's live. So I guess we'll see what their direction is in terms of building some kind of directory. They've obviously got so much content that they want to keep people on the platform, you know, watching videos anyway, that maybe it knows that I prefer to watch videos than live streams. I don't know. It knows more about me than I even know about myself at this point. But it will be interesting to see what direction they take. I really hope live is a massive part of YouTube going forward, even without Fwiz there, because we've seen how much success it, like when we get to, we keep teasing this report that we're going to talk about, but when we get to the report, we'll see what a year like Valkyrie's had in terms of one of the biggest female streamers. And I think actually she did rank as the biggest female streamer on all platforms. We'll have to confirm that when we get to it. But it's surprising to me that they don't push live more on YouTube, but then they have the user base and they have the data and I'm just here speculating. So what do I know? Anyway, we've teased it enough. Shall we jump into the report? And that's a rhetorical question. We're going to jump into the report, but where do you want to start on the report, Ben?
Let's pull it up here for a sec. So just to be clear, to get this report, you can just go to the site for Streamlabs. You have to request to get it from them and kind of give some information. So it's a bit more advanced to get than the one from Streamlabs or Stream Elements that we often go over each time, but it's way more in depth than those as well. So pros and cons here. I think it's like a deck that you would send to somebody. So it's very, I think, professional focused. And I could see even places like Lenovo using this kind of thing for reference. I think it's not just for creators, but also to pitch to brands on the value of Stream Hatchet. But where it kind of starts is just market insights, really, just comparing Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook all against each other right off the bat for 2021 and kind of how they stack up compared to previous years overall. So combined, everything put together, you can kind of see from this graph that it's a little higher than 2020, right? Especially the beginning of 2020 was a lot lower. And then as the pandemic hit, it kind of had that huge spike in March, April of last year and stayed pretty strong. And then in 2021, it was relatively about the same. There was some fluctuation, but about like 700 million hours viewed was kind of the standard through there throughout the year. And then it did have a higher yearly total than 2021, but not like as drastic as the previous year from 2019 to 2020, which I think is expected because, you know, COVID hitting and everyone moving online, that huge jump wasn't going to repeat a second time going into 2021. But still cool to see just the ability to hold that viewership, I think, across all the platforms in this last year. Because I really thought there'd be a big drop-off as the peak COVID season ended, but also we've had so many variants at this point that, I don't know, maybe this is kind of the new standard of streaming to go on from here.
Yeah, just to explain what people are seeing, because I think it's a little bit confusing with the colors. Like when I first read this, I read the red line as YouTube. This is the last 4 years, so 2021 back to 2018, each in a different color, combined of Twitch, YouTube gaming, and Facebook gaming. So it's meant to be a big picture look at how the actual industry has grown over the past 4 years. And there's like a pretty standard, if you look at the difference between 2018 and 2019, and then 2019 and the first 3 months of 2020, there's like a similar gap, right? And even if you look at March onwards between 2020 and 2021, it's kind of that same similar gap. So it seems to me like it is growing at a pretty standard rate. And then the pandemic just blew things, you know, wide open, as everybody now knows. And then just struggled a little bit towards the end of 2021, like it was actually lower than 2020. But as a whole, I think it says here 21% growth rate 2021 over 2020, which roughly equates to January, February, and March pre-pandemic last year. But good news for the industry in general. It's all moving upwards. There's more people watching live streams, which is what we're looking at here. And consumption in general, I'd say, is definitely up as all of these platforms grow and sign new creators. But we can dive into each platform in a little bit more detail. Where are we going here? To the Twitch page I'm on, Ben, now, I think slide 7, where yep. we can look at actually hours watched year-on-year growth of Twitch versus Twitch in 2021 versus 2020. So I saw 32% or 31.6% growth in hours watched. But I actually haven't seen any stats on this about how many streamers are streaming and if that has grown at all. We're just looking really at the viewership side of things.
Yeah, I think we'll have to, it may be somewhere in here, but I think it's mostly focused on viewership. So I know Streamlabs always shows the streamer drop off or rise. I imagine that it was probably a fall. When we last looked at it, it was kind of trailing off from 2020. And so I imagine that might have happened in the 2021, or at least stayed even. But looking at this specific piece of comparing quarter to quarter, you see how drastic the Q1 period, so like January to March, was this year. 2021 compared to 2020, because that, again, that was pre-pandemic. So you really see the difference between March 2020 and March 2021. And then less of a difference throughout the rest of the year. In fact, even into this last quarter, Q4, it's around October, November, December, it was actually only 5%, which is still growth. But compared to like these other percentages of growth, 30, 100, like it's a pretty small amount overall. But still up, which again, I've been surprised they're up with how record breaking of a year last year was.
Yeah. I mean, Twitch just continues to grow. And in my head, I feel like Twitch as a platform really boomed and then the other platforms are trying to catch up. But this just shows that Twitch is still leading the pack and still growing just as quickly, really. Let's move on to YouTube. I actually didn't necessarily mean to focus so much on these graphs, but I pulled out a couple of things from the info. YouTube live stream hours watched decreased in 2021, but YouTube still cemented itself as the go-to platform for VOD content with 800 billion gaming-related video views in 2021. And interestingly, Japanese streamers leading on this platform with 17% of the total platform watch hours on live content, which I can't say I've ever watched any Japanese live streams, but they have clearly found themselves a niche in the corner because 17% of total watch hours, when you think about how many big streamers are now on YouTube streaming daily, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. If you actually scroll down two slides here really quick, Pete, there's a diagram of the whole world. Yeah. And which country is dominated by which platform. And you can see, like, obviously Twitch is a big portion, kind of like the entire east side of the world is Twitch at this point. But on the west side, YouTube is a huge area here, especially like India, China, Japan.
Other
like
way around, whole right? East side. Area.
Yeah, sorry. East side of the world dominated by YouTube. So I think that goes to show how much room really all these platforms have left to go. Like we really think of Twitch, especially on our side of the world, as very dominant, but overseas, like YouTube is just the go-to at this point. And especially looking, like you just said, Japan, 17% of all the platform hours being for live gaming in Japan is wild. And it shows you just, because I've seen a lot of Japan streams on Twitch and it's definitely got a foothold, but it's nowhere near what YouTube's doing still. And I think that really stems from the VOD content and just how easy it is to move from what people are used to with VOD and go into live streaming for a lot of these places.
let's move on to talking about the top streamed games of the year. If I'd asked you to guess this before you looked at the report, in fact, I should have done that with chat, shouldn't I, really? Got them to poll their answers. But I would have said Grand Theft Auto 5 would have been in my top three, but I didn't think it would have been the most streamed game of the year. And we can see that's massively down to the popularity on Twitch. Like, it's almost just on Twitch the biggest game, even when you factor in all the other platforms. So my question to you on this, Ben, is this the start of the metaverse? Since technically Grand Theft Auto 5 is a lot of role play, is this, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's big idea of we're all going to be streaming our, you know, own personas in the metaverse?
The metaverse is a whole nother conversation. I think there's been a lot of not so good news on that front in the past week or so. But yeah, GTA is huge. I mean, looking at this graph, I believe GTA is in the top three highest selling games ever, if not the highest selling game. So it kind of makes sense. It's, again, like, you and I don't watch a lot, I think, of GTA, Pete, but the community around this is insane. Obviously, Twitch itself is massive. Bigger, Twitch by itself is almost bigger than every other platform combined for League of Legends, the next highest category. So it goes to show you how popular GTA is on Twitch, but also these other platforms, even like Facebook has a huge GTA 5 audience. So pretty crazy to see that. And League, of course, League of Legends being the second spot, is still like 700 million behind, I think, GTA in terms of watch hours. So it's just wild how much of a foothold this has over, even compared to Minecraft and stuff. I think of YouTube, and I guess it's just gaming, so it's not including the VOD views necessarily. But like, you think of how many huge Minecraft and Fortnite streams there are that break records, still doesn't put anywhere close to how big GTA 5 is consistently for watch time.
Yeah, it's mad. One thing that I think is really interesting that this graph points out well, and I apologize to the podcast listeners, you might have to go and view the report yourself, but you can really easily see how much influence the game has, or the platform has, on the game, or vice versa. So the top two most streamed games of the year, Grand Theft Auto 5 and League of Legends, is hugely popular on Twitch, but not very popular at all on YouTube or Facebook. The next biggest game, I don't actually hear how you say the first word, Garena Free Fire, is almost non-existent on Twitch. And then YouTube and Facebook sort of have an equal share, and it still has 1.23 billion watch hours. And the mobile games especially, so the third biggest game, which was the Free Fire, then the sixth, which is PUBG Mobile, and the 10th, which is Mobile Legends. Those are the three mobile titles that are in the top 10, and all three of them are by far the most popular on Facebook. And almost, I mean, there isn't even a purple line for Mobile Legends or PUBG Mobile, so they're not being streamed on Twitch at all. So for mobile gamers, Facebook is the platform to stream to. That's what I'm seeing from this.
Exactly. I think I've been saying that for a while, but it's crazy to see the actual numbers behind it. Because to your point, I mean, Facebook is basically carrying all three of these categories into the top 10 by itself. And YouTube's doing some too. So I think if you're on YouTube, then mobile streaming is probably not bad either, but Facebook is just the king. And I think it kind of makes sense if you look at, again, that chart again of where Facebook is dominant. It's really kind of like in the Philippines and Northern Africa. And maybe it's just more accessible in those places, and mobile games especially more popular in those areas. So I think that's probably why you see so much interest in those categories based on those regions.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to come down to that, basically, that even just like in terms of general computer use, it's way more popular to do most of your computer use on a mobile phone in those markets. So the games that are going to be popular, and then how you watch those games, is going to be on mobile. So it's not surprising that the platforms with really good mobile apps, like YouTube's mobile app, in terms of being able to select like quality, and I'm not just talking about live streams, but VOD as well, is way more popular than something like Twitch. So it kind of matches up that the games that are played on mobile are more popular to be streamed on mobile as well. But I just thought that was quite interesting to point out. I think there's also a leaderboard somewhere here we are, top 10 streamers of the year. So I'll read it out for the podcast listeners. XQC at the top and the GrefG at the bottom, and all the other names in between are either English or Spanish speaking streamers that you would, you know, they're big streamers that you will know the name of, Shrouds and Summit 1Gs and all that kind of stuff. XQC, I just want to point this out. This is one of the points here. streamed for a grand total of 3,629 hours last year, which is the equivalent of 151 full days in a year. So he spent basically 50% of his time last year streaming. That is actually not only unhealthy, but incredible. Like, I don't know if that's work ethic or if he's just, you know, so happy to be streaming and raking in all the money that he can. But 151 days of the year last year, full days streaming, considering you're probably sleeping for 8 hours, that leaves like 4 hours to do something other than streaming each day.
I mean, you can't deny that he works hard, right? For having that title of biggest, at least for now, on Twitch, he definitely puts in the work to maintain that. And for a long time, right, too. I think he's been the number one streamer for quite some time. I'm not sure exactly how long, but he's held that crown for a while. So yeah, 151 full days is insane. Counting for sleep and everything else. I mean, it just kind of is the definition of Twitch now, with everything SQC does. But also, I think what's interesting about this graph is it's completely Twitch streamers. There's no Facebook. There's no YouTube. This is not just a graph of top 10 Twitch. This is all top 10. So still goes to show, even after looking at how big YouTube and Facebook are, in terms of hours watched, Twitch is just dominating with their top streamers overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolute madness. Anything else you want to pull out from this report, Ben?
There's a couple things. I mean, there's a whole section here on the gender gap, which I think we talked a little bit about before with the beauty platform.
Let's chat about that.
Sure. Yeah, I think they have a pretty nice series of graphs here and slides going kind of through the details of just how big the gap is. So a couple things I'll just read out here. So while women represent about half of the global population, only 27% of the top 3,000 video game streamers on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook are female. The number has decreased from 2020 when 28% of the top creators were female. So interesting that not only is it, you know, almost a fourth or so, but it's actually decreasing over time, which you'd think would be increasing with all the efforts that have been going on lately. But and it might just be tied into what's happening these days too. But definitely is kind of interesting to see that data percentage shown so starkly.
Yeah, and the point that I wanted to actually bring out here was they've looked at the top 200 creators across all three platforms, and that has grown. So in 2020, it was 3% 3% women, 97% men. And in 2021, that's gone up to 5%. But still, we're talking about a fraction of the size. And there's big efforts, certainly from YouTube Gaming have, like I said earlier, have massively pushed their female creators. Like Valkyrie has basically been the head of live content on YouTube, and that's when they've also got creators like Tim the Tapman, Dr. Disrespect, Ludwig now as well. But maybe that there's clearly more that needs to be done to be able to bring this up to parity, because the viewership isn't as stark as 95 to 5%, and the number of streamers streaming isn't as stark as 95 to 5%. So there's still clearly more to be done, and us as two blokes, we clearly also need to keep educating ourselves about it and educating people that we speak to on the stream. And we're always keen to hear other people's opinions on this kind of thing, but certainly worth highlighting. I know that when we're speaking about minority creators on platforms like Twitch is currently running some promotion for black creators over on their platform and promoting some of their streamers. So maybe they need to do the same things for women creators and pushing them on the homepage too.
Yeah, I think, again, this report has quite a few more pieces to this. The next slide even shows kind of breakdown of each platform and how much percent of female influencers are in the top 1,000 channels, which kind of mirrors the order of the platforms for watch time, even though, you know, it's a lot closer than that comparison. But about 11% on Twitch, 8% on YouTube, and 7.5% on Facebook. Still like one in every 10 of the top 1,000 are women creators on Twitch, which just goes to show you. I think there's a lot of people who talk about how easy it is to grow as a female on these platforms, but the data is very much in the other direction for that. So just something to keep in mind if you're on those platforms.
I think that's basically all the bits that I wanted to pull out. There is a little section here at the bottom to do with monetization, but they've only looked at the data that they could look at, which is bits and subs, I wonder if they took anything from the massive Twitch hack that came out, where you could actually look at the earnings from like the past 2 years. But really what I want to emphasize is, if you want all of this data, then head across to the Stream Hatchet website. You just have to enter your email address. I guess you sign up to their newsletter effectively, but you also get sent through the full PDF. And I love diving through this stuff. And they usually generate a report every quarter, and then we tend to go through it on the podcast with our interesting findings. So Ben, let's make this a little bit fun. What are your predictions for Q1 2022? Who is going to be, actually not streamers, what games are we going to see in the top three spots?
I'm trying to think. So last year we had Rust, I think, took off around Q1, just sort of randomly. It seems like League of Legends is doing pretty well right now. There's a lot of creators who are playing that who wouldn't normally play it for some reason. So that, I would imagine League is a pretty good Q1 when this report comes out. Besides, I think it'll overtake GTA, actually. I'll say that in the next report that we see. I don't know. Besides that, it's hard to say. I can't think of a lot of new games that are going to take over coming out right now, even though there are a lot of new games.
Well, that's something that's highlighted here, isn't it? None of these top 10 games from 2021 were released in 2021. So these are all games that came out before 2021. In fact, the only change from the year previous in the top 10 was Apex Legends, which is in the ninth spot, pushing out CSGO. So there's just one change in terms of the top 10 games. So we're still seeing these huge titles, some of which are esports titles, some of which are mobile titles. And then there's also like your Grand Theft Auto and your Minecraft, which I guess are like role play and I don't know what genre you put Minecraft in. But these are the big games on Twitch, and they were in the big games on Twitch in 2020 as well. So are we dumb for thinking that it's going to be anything different in 2022? Like, League of Legends is 10 years old now, and it's constantly in the top three.
Yep. Some of these things will change, right? Like, League, I think, is going to slowly fall and fall and fall because it is 10 years old. Still be popular, still be in the top 10 probably for a long time. But I think you'll see, like, Valorant maybe, or even, like, Minecraft maybe take over a little bit more. And as these other platforms grow too, that could also really change things. Like, if Facebook and YouTube keep growing and these mobile games start taking over, that I think is the next big way that you see. Because Free Fire is actually pretty close on this graph right here. Again, we're very Twitch focused, at least I am, with how I think of like the directory. But Free Fire is not far behind, and even Minecraft. So I think if these other platforms grow, we'll see them eclipse some of like the Twitch mainstays, which I really think are League and GTA 5.
I do just want to pull out one more thing that I brought in from this report. I don't know exactly where it is, but whilst we're talking about gaming content, Twitch has also continued to grow audiences outside of gaming. And the stat is that non-gaming categories accounted for 12% of the total watch hours on Twitch. And that is a growth of 64% since 2020. So I don't know how they would possibly categorize anything outside of gaming. You know, we've seen like the just chatting category sometimes in these reports, and it's kind of skewed because it's such a massive category, isn't it? It's not a game. Anything can be taken as just chatting. But do you think there's ever a chance that we're going to see, I don't know, fitness streams or cooking streams or anything like that entering the top 10? Or is that not Twitch's forte and they're going to stick with the gaming side of things?
I think Twitch is trying really hard to break into these non-gaming categories, right? I don't think they're really going to make it work as well as YouTube or Facebook or even like these new platforms we're talking about that are breaking out. Maybe we see more platforms like beauty-centric or fitness-centric that are really built around these niches and kind of have their own culture like Twitch has right now with the very gaming memes, the emotes and everything. Maybe you see that for other categories that will break out. I think the most likely thing though is that YouTube just takes over for all those other non-gaming categories. And maybe they rebrand some of their logo, the branding. So it's not just YouTube gaming, right? But they have like YouTube fitness, or they work on some of how that's labeled, because I think that's just the most natural platform for a lot of these places. Because if you think about like beauty videos and fitness videos, right? It's YouTube. There's nowhere else to go for that stuff really. So I think that's the most likely thing that we see come. But I would love for Twitch to break out in these places if they can really make it work. I'm just skeptical.
Well, we also, you can't forget, Ben, we now have Newness, the new streaming platform for beauty creators. So maybe we'll see that on the graph in the coming times.
Exactly.
We had a good point from Let's Play MTB, who says, this goes to show that they don't make games like they used to. The fact that we still play 10-year-old titles just goes to show the current state of games. What are your thoughts?
I just think it's really focused on very long-term games. I know there's a lot of sentiment right now around, like, there's no good new games anymore. Like, games just aren't the same as they used to be. I think that's true to some extent, but also there's just so many, like, established kings of genres now. And we haven't seen a whole lot of new genres. Like, I think we saw a lot of things in 2017, 2016 with Battle Royales come out, but nothing that's really been able to compete with League or, you know, CSGO had Valorant. That was one thing that went really, really competitive with CSGO. But I think it's going to be different types of games that are able to compete here. Like the mobile stuff is kind of its own category, or even VR in the future, if that becomes more accessible. I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with the sentiment that games like aren't as good as they used to be. I just think they're different in terms of what gets watched on places like Twitch and YouTube, and what can really compete with some of these huge, you know, multi-billion dollar industry titles at this point.
The last thing I want to point out from this is Mobile Legends Bang Bang. That's the one that Riot tried to sue, right? It's the super popular League of Legends clone, I think. And since then, League of Legends have released their own mobile version of the game, which isn't in the top 10. So clearly, they haven't been able to crush the competition, and the lawsuit clearly didn't work. It's still, you know, in the top 10 most streamed games, and that is dominated by Facebook and probably dominated viewership-wise by people in the east of the world. I think that'll probably do it. We've talked quite a lot about this report, but I think we can probably sum up that Twitch is still king. YouTube and Facebook are definitely making a case for being viable platforms to stream on, and I'm sure we'll see other streaming platforms come up this year. But for now, still in terms of where the viewership is and the hours watched, we've got one more comment that you've just put up on screen. Games like Minecraft have unlimited possibilities for content. That is true, and that's also why I think GTA 5 has been so popular, is, you know, the fact that you can role play and create your own sort of ideas and videos around that, and Minecraft is the king of YouTube in that aspect. So many people still making millions of views on Minecraft videos. But I think that'll probably do us this week, Ben, unless you got any closing thoughts.
Nope, that should be good. I hope we have more stuff next week to talk about in this vein. I love these reports, and so, you know, we've memed on Streamlabs, but I'm looking forward to still seeing that report come out and Stream Elements, and hopefully, like some people said here, some new games break out in 2022, because I would love to see an upset here, whether it's Rust or some brand new game that comes out and mixes things up. I'm all for some new stuff coming to Twitch and YouTube.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll catch you in the next week's podcast. Peace.